Open up to James chapter 2. The title of tonight's message is The Law of Liberty. And you may think that I've gotten off of the messages on healing. I really haven't. But this is foundational to where we're going to pick up in the year 2018. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to keep saying it because this is the truth. Cancer has met its match in the name of Jesus. Cancer is not going to rule over us or any of our loved ones. We rule over cancer in Jesus' name. That is what the Bible teaches, and that's what we're going to preach, and that's what we're going to do. And so that's just the way it is. Now, in the process, he's also trying to get us to understand the full gospel. I've heard a lot of messages in my life on the law of liberty. They were okay. But I'm telling you, answers are coming forward for me right now that in a way that I've just never understood them before. They're very simple, which they always are when it's God. And our walk is going to get narrower, which means our walk is also going to get higher.
Amen.
Yeah, does that make sense to you? All right. We're supposed to walk as he walked, talk as he talked, and have the same results that he had. That's what our Bibles say, and that's exactly what's going to happen. So James chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. And again, it's hard for me anymore to just give verses without the surrounding context, but let's just read it here for a moment. It says, "So speak ye, and so do." So our talk and our speech, we're supposed to do it as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. That's very King James-y, isn't it? When I did that demonstration with Mary Leval, I'm not going to do it again tonight. We brought four or five people up here and had them represent just the world. And of course, we all start out in the world. We all start out with the spirit of the world in us. Passed down to us from our great-great-great-great-granddaddy Adam. It's that law of sin and death that everybody has. The whole world has it. Every person born of woman has it. And in that illustration, we had like four or five people, and Mary at the end, and she had it too. But Mary was a Romans 7 type person that wanted to live holy and righteously, kept trying to keep God's law, but had no ability to keep it. Because she had the law of sin and death working on the inside of her, just like everybody born in the world does. And but she kept crying out, with my mind, I agree that your law is holy and good. I set myself, I'm going to keep it. But try as she might, just like all the Jews of the Old Testament who had the law and had no nature to keep it. See, when it says mercy triumphs against judgment, in the Old Testament, since not one single person could keep the law, nobody could. How many of you think they were really thankful for that lamb? Now, mercy through the lamb triumphed over judgment. Okay? And mercy through the new birth triumphs over judgment for each and every one of us. In a nutshell, that's what he's talking about. So, in that illustration, Mary gets saved. She gets born again. God takes out that spirit of the world, puts in it's the same life that raised Jesus from the dead. What we call the second birth was what he had really at his first birth. It's that life that came into the womb of Mary by way of the Holy Ghost. It's the very life of God. Now he suffered death, tasted death for every man, but thank God he didn't stay dead. He was not only raised from the dead, he was born from the dead. Hallelujah. And then he ascended to the right hand of the Father. And the gospel in a nutshell is, when I did a message, I copied Bronk. Okay, Bronk, this is probably the last time I'll ever give you credit for it. But the message was called The Road Tested Life. Oh, I love that message. I love that title because, you know, they road test tires. They road test engines. Before they put them on the market and make it available to you, they put them in races and they do endurance things, and they're going to road test it, make sure it's good before you get it. Jesus has already road tested this life. He's going, it's good. I've already road tested it for you. The life I'm going to give you will cause you to walk above sin. The life I'm giving you will cause you to rise above sickness. I'm telling you, he said, I've already road tested it. It's good.
Amen.
So when he ascended to the Father, anyone that believes that same life that quickened him from death to life, that same life, you got it.
Amen.
Not something less, not a smaller amount. That same road tested life, you have that same life in you. Well, in our illustration, Mary got that life. And she's coming out of the world. She's in it, but she's not of it anymore. Isn't that right? But we had her holding hands with some of the people of the world representing strongholds. You know, sin. Well, let's do worse than that. Sin. You know, I'm not saying Mary's involved in any of that, but we were just picking things. Like one was adultery and one was drugs and one was alcohol. And you could just name anything, but to illustration, she's like holding hands with all of these things, like most of us are when we get saved. We, you know, I didn't know hardly any of this when I got saved. I just knew he died for me.
Amen.
You got to learn some things along the way, right? But see, that nature comes in immediately. Your understanding grows, but the nature does not grow. That nature, in Ephesians 4, it says, from the instant you got born again, it is created. That new man on the inside of you, that life on the inside of you is created, I like to say, from the get-go in righteousness and true holiness. God said in this new covenant, and I went up to Mary, and when she got born again, he says, I will write my laws in your mind. I will write my laws in your heart. Nobody will have to teach you about me. You will know me. And what that means is from the moment you get born again, no one has to tell you stealing is wrong. You know it from the inside out. No one has to tell you lying is wrong. You instantly know it. Even though you never heard the Ten Commandments preached in your whole life, when you genuinely get born again, that nature, it writes it in your mind and writes it in your heart, and you know. You know fornication is wrong. Okay. Well, she's holding hands at first. Then we went over to Corinthians where he says, now, come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing. And I will be a father to you. I will receive you. And so Mary had the choice. She, you know, I mean, and their soul ties. And just to say it worse than that, the flesh likes the high. The flesh likes the high. You do know there is no incentive for the flesh to live holy. Where is the flesh going to wind up? Dust of the ground. From dust you came, from dust you're going. Now you're going to get a glorified body, but your natural body from the ground, there is no incentive for it to leave holy. It only has one thing that it's just whatever feels good, do it. That's the gospel to the flesh. And it doesn't care a lick about your holiness at all. And it has no incentive to. That's why God couldn't, even God says, I can't do anything with that. I just declare it dead. You know? There is no salvation for the flesh. The flesh is going back to the dust. Anyway. But the flesh likes the highs and it likes things. And my soul, if there was ever a good illustration, I think, of the mind of, you know, Dave would teach us, you have a spiritual mind that's inside, it's deeper, it's within your natural mind. Remember when he would teach us that? One of the best illustrations for me is my own life. Because that first week, when I really got born again, I wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, it's not the Holy Ghost doing this. It's the new nature that come in me. My spiritual mind was hearing, what do you call it? The law that was written in my mind. And it was saying things like, this pornography's got to go. And my soul, the natural mind, would argue with it. You know, it's unrenewed. It's going, what? Do you know how much money we've got invested in this? I've been saving this collection for years. I even bought the little plastic covers to keep them in pristine condition. If you come over, I'd show them to you. You know? But now there's a new preacher from the inside out. It's going, it's got to go. Now, if there was ever an illustration of a spiritual mind arguing with a natural mind, that's a good illustration of an unrenewed mind, isn't it? Now, here's the illustration of a renewed mind, but at least in part. Actually, I couldn't get any peace. He wouldn't leave me alone. Have you found out the new nature is relentless? Wouldn't leave me alone. That's just one thing, you know. It wouldn't be just 2 or 3 days. It's got to go. My natural mind had to yield to the mind of Christ, the spiritual mind on the inside. See the process? And it still wasn't, it didn't like it, but it left. Then he went after my music. Oh, dear Lord. Now, I'm not saying all music is evil, but for me, it was an idol. It really was. And had to go, and okay, I didn't argue quite so much about that. And then I come to my bad company album. I actually hid it. My natural soul hid that album. Y'all know he knows the black and white one. I know he knows. Bum, 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 bad. Anyway. I do terrible injustice to it every time I do that. But I actually hid that thing. If you talk about the natural mind being stupid, like what am I thinking? God doesn't see this? I got rid of all the rest of them. They left. A few months later, we were moving, and I discovered that album again. By then, I was real embarrassed. I hadn't listened to it anymore. And God, I'm sorry, and I got rid of it. You know, wish I had them back now. They'd be worth some money. That was real vinyl. But anyway. I'd use the money for the gospel, though. Anyway, you know. Anyway, I digress. Well, this is all review to try and get us to understand God, see, he's talking about here. Let's see, I haven't really got to that verse yet. Right, yeah, I have. See, when it says we're going to be judged by the law of liberty, what does that mean? We're going to be judged. We're supposed to speak and act and do as those that will be judged by the law of liberty. Well, what? He's talking about judgment day. The day we're going to stand before Jesus. Now you need to understand, you are not going to be judged by the Ten Commandments as they were written in tables of stone. The judgment is going to be based on what he wrote in your mind and in your heart. I thank God for the blood that's still on the mercy seat. How many of you are still glad mercy triumphs over judgment? Amen. Amen. But that's what we're going to be judged by. He took away that first covenant, which is the Mosaic covenant, the law written in tables of stone. He took that one away and he made a new covenant. Now this one is by his grace. And again, it's a better covenant because the first covenant, he was going, you are going to do it. You keep my law and then I will be a God to you. But man couldn't keep the law because of that fatal flaw. So he says, okay, that's never going to work. I'm going to make a new covenant. And this one starts off with, I will write my laws in your mind. So he's talking about the new birth, which is all God from beginning to end. Jesus paid it all. Jesus did it, everything required. You just start off, you talk about mercy and grace. He forgives your sins like you never ever sinned, paid for by the blood of Jesus. And then he says, hey, if I'm not just going to stop there. I'm not just going to forgive you and leave you that old sinner that you are. I want to take the life that's in him and I'm going to give it to you by grace. Whom the Son makes free? Free indeed. What if instead of calling it the law of liberty, what if we said, what's liberty? Isn't liberty when you get your freedom? What if I said, you're going to be judged according to the law that made you free? What about that? In other words, Mary, you got free. I gave you this grace. I empowered you. Now you don't have. I fixed that fatal flaw that was in man. I took out that sin nature. And by my grace, you didn't do anything to earn it, Mary. By my grace, I put the very life of Christ on the inside of you. That road-tested life, I put it in you. Mary, you don't have to sin anymore. See, it's that very law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that makes us free from the law of sin and death. So now we've got soul ties and flesh ties to the things of the world. We may be hanging on to Bad Company albums and hanging on to things, you know. But he keeps saying, let go. Let go of it. Who do you love now? You said you wanted to live righteous and holy. I've enabled you to do it. Come on out now. Come on out. Let go. Don't touch the unclean thing. Now come on out from among them. Be you separate. And I'll receive you and be a father. Now you got to understand one thing in this. God is your biggest cheerleader. When, that day you got born again. Let's talk about Gary. That day that I was alcohol, pornography, cussing, served money my whole life. Just messed up. And that day I got born again. God's looking down at me like every mother looks down at her little baby child and goes, "That's my boy." I smell like bourbon, got nicotine stained fingers. Probably looked at pornography an hour ago. You know, that's my boy. That's my boy right there. Now he's got a lot to learn. He don't know come here from Sikkim. But that's my boy. Now see, does that help you understand why Alan would preach so eloquently, you are not your struggles? You're God's bouncing baby boy or bouncing baby girl. You are the apple of his eye. He put today he'd say you put your face on his refrigerator. The Bible says he's got your face on the palm of his hand. How could I ever forget you? I see you everywhere I go. See, he is for you. Got to remember, God is love. He is the chapter 13 love. Long suffering and gentle and kind and good, but he's also justice. But he is long suffering with us, but that does not change the fact from the very day we got born again, we were free from sin, whether we knew it or not. Now, I look back on it now and I'm really amazed at all the change that happened in my life in the first 2 weeks. I wish I'd have kept better records, but it was not very long. That first 2 weeks, alcohol went, pornography went. The truth of it is, smoking went. I went back to it within 6 months because I wasn't happy with how I was being treated. That's another lesson for another day. I was unhappy. I'm going to pet my flesh. Well, that little petting cost me about 20 some odd years. Anyway, that's another deal. Didn't have to, but another deal. We'll talk about that enough. But really, he set me free from smoking. He did. First 2 weeks, my life... My attitude towards money, just completely, not 100%, but let's say 75% changed. The things that motivated me before just never did motivate me anymore. He can do a quick work if we let him. I would to God that I could go back, knowing what I know now, and just stay so pure and close following that new nature. How life would be different. And then that would be a wonderful life even without the baptism in the Holy Ghost. But then, as if that wasn't good enough, he gives us the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Now you have received power. And the Holy Spirit, he'll make intercession for you when you don't even know what's wrong with you. I mean, anybody can spot drinking and pornography and smoking. I mean, that's pretty obvious. What about pride? What about selfish ambition? What about anger? What about envy? This is a little harder. Alan says, you know, we have enough trouble just dealing with the iceberg that we see above the water. Problem is, 80-90% of that iceberg is below the water. We don't even know what's wrong with it. But thank God for the Holy Ghost. When we don't even know what to pray, why don't we know? We don't know what's wrong with us. The Holy Spirit, he knows. And he'll begin making intercession for you according to the will of God. He will take hold together with you against your infirmities. I know I'm preaching good now. Isn't that what Nathan says? Hallelujah. All right. This law of liberty is actually, it is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It is the law that made you free. Now let's back up in James just a little bit, because he talks about it actually in the first chapter. Now before I start this part, you know how Dave taught us to meditate in whole images? Look at James chapter 1 verse 12, and I could go before that, but this is enough for tonight. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. He's talking about not sinning when you're tempted. Is that plain enough? All right, now look at the last sentence in chapter 1. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. Isn't that the man that endures temptation? He has not changed the subject. Now you think he has, but he hadn't. That whole thing there, he's talking about the same thing. And really we could back up even before there, but this is enough. Now, to keep your mind focused on the law of liberty, let me take a little section out of the middle of this. So look at verse 21. Wherefore, boy, it's hard to start there, but anyway. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Now that's King James. What it really means is the residue of wickedness. Things of the world that you're still carrying, that you shouldn't be carrying. It might be sins, it might be weights. Hebrews 12 talks about weights. It may not be a direct sin, but boy, it's sure slowing you down. Okay? At age 71, I'll be 71 next month. I don't need nothing slowing me down. I feel younger in many ways than I did 20 years ago. So y'all going to have to put up with me for a while. But he's talking about, in the middle of this passage that we just looked at, blessed is the man that endureth temptation and keeping yourself unspotted from the world. Notice right in the middle of it, he's talking about laying aside filthiness. You see that? Let us lay apart filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, which means residue of wickedness, your bad company album. And receive with meekness the engrafted word. Now, up until recently, it's okay to interpret that way. I always thought he was talking about the whole word. The word, the logos. But if you keep it in context, he's talking about a specific part of the word. You'll see it here in a minute. So lay apart this filthiness and the residue of wickedness. Instead of that, receive with meekness the engrafted word. Now notice, the word he's talking about is able to save your soul. Not your spirit, your soul. Boy, this is so good. I want to take up another offering right now. This is just too good to Now, but in order for this to work, you have to be doers of this word and not a hearer only. If you hear only, you're going to deceive your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, boy, this is important. Now watch this. He's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Now that word glass is mirror. He's talking about looking in a mirror. He's like a guy walked up, looked in the mirror. It's like I do every morning. What a handsome rascal you are. You know? How did you get so handsome? If y'all think that's really true, I'll pray for you. But anyway, y'all know what for years and years I didn't look much like my dad at all. My dad was really, really, I always thought he was a very handsome fella. And I wasn't. So for years and years, I wasn't, you know, just real sure, positive. Because I didn't look very much like him. One day, you know, you get up in the morning, you go to the mirror, you're wiping the sleep out of your eyes, wash your face, and you look in that mirror. I remember the day, I was in my 40s. I did that, and I looked in that mirror, and I looked again. I went, Dad? About 15 years later, I went, Grandpa? But it's look, beholding your face in a mirror. That's who I am. That's who I am. Isn't that why we look in the mirror? That's who I am, see? So, but if you're a hearer and not a doer, well, it's like going and looking in the mirror. You see who you are. He beholds himself, goes his way, and notice straightway. I mean, immediately. Forgets what manner of man he was. Oh, no. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Now, let's not lose the analogy. He's talking about a mirror. Now he says, let's look into this law of freedom and continueth therein. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I was meditating on this, and another passage come to me. He's talking about a mirror. He's talking about looking into that mirror, seeing who you are. And then when you walk away, don't forget who you are. Isn't that right? Now, this is too good. Look at it in your Bible, 2 Corinthians 3:18. Some of you are smiling. I already know where I'm going. It's the law of liberty. This is the law of liberty right here. And we find out Paul is from the south. Because he says, but we all. Y'all, all y'all. But we all, with open face, now notice, beholding as in a glass, you could say mirror, beholding as in a mirror, now what are we beholding? We are looking in a mirror. What do we see? We see the glory of the Lord. And as we do that, we are changed to the same image. Not something diminished, not something way down lower. My Bible says the same image as He is, so are we in this world. And you look in that mirror and you go, it can't be. Because I'm ugly and I'm bad and I kick the cat and I kick the dog. Actually, I kicked Alan's dog. Spoke ugly to the parakeet. You know, I'm just, okay. Now, can't be me. No, I can't be me. No. Look again. Notice it says, look. Really look. Come back up to that mirror. It's me. Well, when I look in that mirror, who I see is Jesus. Something's wrong with this mirror. No, something's wrong with your doctrine. So you're seeing who you really are. You're looking straight in the face of Christ in you. Amen. Your hope of glory. That is the real you. That is who you are. And see, going back to James, if you will remember that, when you walk away and this body gets tempted and it goes, I know who I am. I know who I am. I've been looking into the law of liberty. I've been looking into the glass that changes from who I was to who I am now. I am made in His image. I don't sin anymore. I've been looking into the law of freedom. I am free from you, sin. Now my body gets tempted. You got to understand, you are not your struggle. Your body will be tempted. It likes highs. It wants what it wants, of course. But if you have been looking into that perfect law of liberty, spending time in there, it takes humility. You know what pride is? I don't care what the Bible says. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. You're calling God a liar to His face. You really are. It sounds humble, but it's not. It's the opposite of humility. Jesus paid a terrible, terrible price in order for us to have this life on the inside of us. And it's time we do not forget who we are. See, that's what it means when it says not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. The work is to enforce who you are on this planet. And we're headed towards healing. You hear me? But we're starting with sin. You got dominion over sin? I got news for you. You got dominion over every sickness and disease. When it says that law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. He could have just said sin, didn't he? He couldn't have just said sin?
Yeah.
That's why I like how Pastor Dave says sickness, sin, sickness is just an ugly cousin. That law of the Spirit of life set us free from not only sin, but all of its relatives. Is that good stuff or what? Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. What that means is after your Bible study, after this service tonight, on your job tomorrow, when a temptation comes, you're not a forgetful hearer. You remember who you are. I am born of God. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I've been looking into the law, the mirror of freedom, and I know who I am. I'm made in the image of God. Flesh, you don't get it anymore. You don't get to have what you want anymore. Well, I'm going to suffer. He that suffered in the flesh is freed from sin. Is this good stuff? Are you getting this? Hallelujah. Let me read you how I wrote it. It says, when you look into the perfect law of liberty, you're looking into that glass, you see Christ looking back at you. Because that is the nature you now have at your core. That is Christ in you. And that life sets you free from sin. From the moment you get born again, you enter into warfare with the flesh. Remember in Galatians 5, I didn't bring this verse, but it says, the Spirit lusts against the flesh, and the flesh lusts against the Spirit. These two are contrary the one to the other. I looked up that word contrary, and it's G480 in the Strong's. It's pronounced antikamahai. And it means to lie opposite. To be adverse. Your flesh is the enemy of the new nature. Your flesh is the enemy. That's why it's got to be on the cross. They do not agree. See when it says to lie opposite? They do not agree. I want to give Bronk another little kudo here. He said it. It's an old teaching, but just the way he said it was better than I've said it before. But after tonight, Bronk, it's mine. Just know. See, when they come and ask Jesus about the fasting, well, you don't put new wine into old bottles. See, and I've majored on that one. That one, because I know it's a goat skin, and that new wine is still fermenting. And I know it's a type and shadow of him putting the new birth into your sinful flesh. Okay? And he said, this is not going to work very long. It's going to burst. Fasting will have an effect on that wineskin that'll cause it to be able to retain the new birth. But I never did use it much in regards to the cloth. But the way Bronk said it was like this. He goes, look, Jesus also said, you don't put a new patch on an old garment. Why? And because they do not agree. That new one will shrink more than the other, and the tear will be made worse, and no matter how much you don't want it to, it's going to tear. The spirit and the flesh do not agree. One is going to win, and one is going to lose day by day and actually moment by moment. The way the Holy Spirit said it to me one time, it says every day one of you is going to be on the cross. But one of you will be on the cross each day. The spirit or the flesh. Why is it called the law of liberty? Because it is the law that frees you from sin and death. You are no longer a slave to sin. The Son has made you free by sharing His life with you, and you never have to sin again. It is your choice now. See, God fixed the flaw of that Mosaic covenant. Man could not keep the law because of that sin nature within him. God took out that sin nature and replaced it with the righteous nature of Christ himself. I like to call it that road-tested life. You can watch it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That same life that you see walking through those pages is the same life that's in you. Man, I like that. We are free from sin. That is why God now says to his spirit-born children, well, come out from among them. I fixed the flaw. You can do it now. I wrote my law in your mind and in your heart. And if you were serious that you wanted to live righteous and holy, now you can. And remember, you're the apple of his eye. Come on. How many of you? I remember when Cole was so just, I mean, Cole was our little grandson. Cutest. I mean, you probably have cute grandkids, but ours was cuter. But anyway, Cole was just wonderful. And, you know, when, boy, you were looking for when they're going to take that first step. Man, Sue, bring the camera, baby. I think he's about to do it. Come on. They pull himself up next to the coffee table. Y'all seen it? Them little legs are wobbling. And you're going, hey, now what are you doing? Come on. Come on. I know you can do it. Come on. And he's trying to muster. See, it's like God can. Come on out of the world, honey. Come on out. I gave you the power to do it. I know you can do it. God is your biggest cheerleader. Come on out now. Come on. I set you free. You can do it. Little old Cole, he might take that first step and then fall. Do we turn our back on him and go, well, that's it for you? No. What do? You picked that baby. You did good. You did so good. And we set you right back where you was right there. Oh, that's good. Come on, boy. Yeah. Now that's God. Come on. Come on. You can walk free. Go back to the blood. All right. Back to the blood. 1 John 1:9. Get cleansed. All right. Get back over here. Come on. Come on. I know you can do it. I put a life in you that enabled you to do it. Come on. Come on. Deal with that thing. Add a little fasting this time. Come on, deal with it. Now, you don't have to add fasting to get free from sin. I don't want people to think that. But fasting don't hurt. Okay, we're going to talk about fasting. I'm really trying to put it off till after the first, okay? Please. I love real people. I love real people. Please, I need pumpkin pie. Come on. Can y'all see? And God is long-suffering and kind and gentle and good. But see, right on the other hand, we are going to be judged by that law. Now, I'm just going to fast forward to the bad part. Now, he'll deal with you. How many of you know he's long-suffering? You know that because how he's dealt with you, right? But see, if you go your whole life and all through your life, he's still, come on. Come on now. And, you know, he'll deal with each one of us individually. But I'm warning you, because the Bible warns us, if you never come out, let's just take one of the worst ones, fornication. If you never come out and you die as a habitual fornicator, you are not going to heaven. And it'll break God's heart more than it will yours. The Bible's real clear, and we're going to have to ramp it up. Because there's a lot of people that think they're okay with God and they're not okay with God. And it's not that he doesn't love them. It's not like he's not trying to woo them. But they have been, the gospel has been so watered down that they think, well, his grace just covers everything, you know. And no, my Bible says fornicators, adulterers, thieves, drunkards. In the New King James and Amplified, it says homosexuals, sodomites, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Won't do it. If you stay in the world, you're going to perish with the world. That's what it says. I want to look at this law in a couple of other places. Go to James. We're still in James. Go to James chapter 2. Look at verse 8. This is also called the law. This law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's also called the royal law. R-O-Y-A-L. Here's James 2:8. If you fulfill the, see it, royal law according to the scripture. Well, what is that royal law? Right there. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You do well. That's the same law, really. Because God is love. God is love. Look at, okay, we're leaving James now. Go to Matthew 22. See, when you receive that nature of Christ, what's the first fruit in Galatians 5 when it starts listing the fruit of the Spirit? For the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's the first one, not the last one. That's the first thing that comes, starts manifesting out of you because God is love. When He puts His nature in you, love begins coming out of you. Okay? And the royal law of love is thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So Matthew 22, look at verses, starting in verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, and here it is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now get it. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You learn to love God and love man, and you will fulfill the law. Because love works no ill to its neighbor. There's so many scriptures that when I teach like this that I don't have on the pages. One of them in Corinthians says, you guys are utterly at fault because you go to law. A brother against a brother. And that in front of the heathen. And then he makes an incredible statement. He says, why don't you just rather be defrauded? Nobody ever answers that question. Why don't you just rather be defrauded? In other words, love your brother more than the stuff he took from you. Why don't you just rather be defrauded? Because we don't know much about the royal law. And we don't know much about God our provider. God said over in Luke chapter 6, He said, if they're taking away your stuff by force, and He said, just give it to them. Let it go. If they want to take away your coat, give them your cloak also, and however it's worded there. If you want to walk 1 mile, go twice with them, you know. In other words, go the extra mile. And the promise is, if you will extend my love like that, not only to the sinner, but to the backslidden Christian, if you'll extend my, no matter what they might cost you, I will speak to the hearts of other men. And they will give back unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Has nothing to do with the church offering at all. It has to do with, do you know Him as your Father, and do you know Him as your provider? And can you extend His love to that guy who's treating you so bad? We got a little growing up to do. Matthew 7, verse 12. Here's another way of wording it. Go ahead and look at it in your Bible, Matthew 7, 12. He says, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, will do you even so to them. Now notice, this is the law and the prophets. One sentence. One sentence. You know, you ever studied the law? The prophets? Hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of instructions and regulations and things. And he says, well, you can reduce it down to one sentence. Whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Now I'm going to go, I'm going to extend a little farther. If I was in a wheelchair, and I was, you know, do y'all remember I had polio when I was 5 years old? I think that experience helped me in some ways because even I knew at age 5 I had not done anything to deserve it. So I've grown up with a knowledge there's something wrong with this world, you know, and I never did think God did it to me. Thank God. But I know what it is to be paralyzed. Now, in my case, it was medical science, thank God, that I had praying parents and praying grandparents, but it was mainly through medicine that I can walk. And I thank God for that. But let's go to divine healing. See, like modern medicine has no cure for that guy that was born blind. They have no cure for that. Guy born blind, no eyes, or anyway, he might have had eyes, but born blind. Now, if I was born blind and the Son of God came by and I had heard that he had the power to heal, what would I want done unto me? I would want to receive my sight. But let's get on the other side of the line, because he's moving us from the ministry side, let's say it, from the being ministered to sign to the ministering side of the line. And what we're supposed to do is take that healing power everywhere that we find it. You find something that's not of God, cast that devil out, lay hands on the sick, and what did Jesus say? They will recover. That's where we're headed. But how about we start with really understanding we're free from sin? Looking into that law of liberty to the point we don't forget the next time we are tempted. We don't become that's what it means, a forgetful hearer. See, and it ends up with keeping yourself unspotted from the world. But the only way to do that is to keep looking into that law of liberty and understand, as he is, so am I in this world. Temptation? No. I endure temptation. And I'm blessed. We will not be judged by some external law written in tables of stone. We're going to be judged according to the law of Christ. Be turning to Romans 2. I'm about to finish here. It's the law of Christ, the law of love, the royal law written in our hearts and mind. It's the law of the new nature. It's actually Christ in you. Now, it's really an important point to get this right here. Romans chapter 2, starting in verse 13. Now, James says, don't be a forgetful hearer, but be a doer. Okay? Notice, for not the hearers of the law are just before God. You got that? Not the hearers, but the doers of the law. Now, it's not talking about the Mosaic law here. He tells you what law. For when the Gentiles, now that's people that were not raised Jewish, they never had the Ten Commandments read to them in their whole life. They probably worshiped the goddess Diana or something. So when the Gentiles, which have not the law, they don't have the Mosaic law. Nobody ever gave them that. But notice, they do by nature. They got born again. God wrote his law in their mind and in their heart. They're just like old Gary. That first week, we can't worship Diana no more. We can't go to them. You know, a lot of those worship of those other gods involves some pretty spicy things. Got children in the room. Sexual things. You know, there's a law that came on the inside of them. We can't do that anymore. But when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature. Now notice, they're doers and not hearers only. They're doing it. They're obeying the law that God wrote in their mind and in their heart. Nathan usually says they're yielding to it. Those thoughts, it mentions it here. They do by nature the things contained in the law. These, having not the law, you could say the law of Moses. Nobody chiseled it in stone. They are a law unto themselves, because God wrote it on the inside of them. Which show, that means because they're doing. They're showing the work of the law. The way James said it, not be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Now notice, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. See, only we all can put on a good show. We can bring our plastic self to church. You're not going to be judged by your plastic external self. Each one of us knows on the inside whether you're obeying Him or not obeying Him. And that's what you're going to be judged by. And you'll have no recourse. I didn't know stealing was wrong. Were you born again? Yeah. Well, you're a liar. You did know it was wrong. I didn't know fornication was wrong. Nobody read it to me out of Scripture. Didn't have to. You got born again. Love works no ill towards its neighbor. What are you doing? Y'all. Now, I want to finish up with the really good part. Let's go back to the mirror. He that looketh into the perfect law of liberty, not being a forgetful hearer, see, but a doer of the work. What work? You're doing what that law on the inside says do. Not forgetful here. You've been looking into that law and you see Jesus looking back at you as He is. Oh yeah, that's who I am. That's who I am. As He is, so is Gary. In this world, the life that I see in Him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I have that life in me. It don't feel like it. When the temptation comes, does it feel like it? Especially if you're in a habit of yielding to it. Dear God, when I finally bucked up, is that okay? When I bowed up and made my stand against smoking, which I should have done a long time before, I'm telling you, I never felt so weak in my life. I even asked Sue, I said, after about day two, I never made it to day two before. I said, how am I winning this? Something's going on. Well, my understanding had grown a little bit. See, that's what it's talking about, being a doer of the work. What work? The work of the law that has been written in your heart. You're doing the work. You're letting the law do what He put it in you for, which is to guide your steps. So you look at it, I am Christ. I am, well, not only, as He is, so am I in this world. I have that same life, the one He road tested. He never had to sin. He never sinned. I don't have to sin. Oh, and you walk away, and here comes that same old temptation. Maybe it could be smoking, chewing, could be anything. Could be gossip, could be anything. But this time you go, I'm not a forgetful hearer. I know who I am. Now the flesh is going to scream like a scalded dog. It's going to say, what it told me is, I will kill you. I will kill you. I'll make your life miserable to the day you die. But I've learned over time, that was many years ago, you can retrain it. It doesn't bug me for that anymore. It didn't even want nicotine anymore. Even on my worst day, which I still have some days, you know. My body doesn't crave alcohol anymore. Does it crave anything? Going on to other Nunyas. We have Nunyas we're dealing with. Y'all getting anything out of this? The law of liberty. Listen, it is the law of life, that spirit of life in Christ Jesus that has made you free from the law of sin and death. You are God's bouncing baby child. He's so proud of you. What He's wanting you to understand, you're a chip off the old block. He put His life on the inside of you and you are free. You don't have to sin anymore. And yet, truth of it is, you don't have to be sick anymore either. In Jesus' name. All right, we're going to close on that. Is that good stuff or what? I love that. How brought James and all of that together, doing the work of the law from Romans 2. Man, be a doer of the work. I wonder what the, I got to call Homer. Homer loves the book of James. We're going to have a good time tomorrow, me and Homer. Hallelujah. Homer Betancourt. All right. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that it's even more wonderful. The more we learn, the more wonderful it is. But Lord, it sure does make us accountable. Sure makes us accountable, Lord. Father, I just pray for myself and every person in the sound of my voice that each of us are doers of your word. Doers of the word that says we have been made free from sin. Father, that each of us looks deeply, spends some time at that mirror, looks at it long enough, gets our tongue in agreement with it, to where we know who we are. So when we walk out into the world, no matter what temptation comes, we are not a forgetful here. But we allow your law to do its work on the inside of us. And we are justified because we yield to your new nature that you gave us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody says, Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.